Welcome to the Rotunda, the longest-running maternity hospital in the world and the busiest in Europe. It has seen the birth of almost 1 million Dubliners, and some 24 new babies are added to that number every day. It's a place of extreme highs.
And then she went, oh, so we've two babies.
Devastating lows.
The term I'd used before was like a ticking time bomb where the cords can be entangled.
Agony and ecstasy all happening second to second.
Hi.
The Atlantic. Immense, hostile and brutal. The world's second largest ocean. So vast it generates weather. An irresistible power that shapes lands with its unstoppable force. To survive in the world's wildest ocean takes tenacity and strength. This is the story of birth and death, struggle and survival, where the Atlantic meets Europe. This is A Year in the Wild.
Strict house rules are in play tonight, understand? Only speak when you're spoken to. Don't make jokes. Don't break wind. Look at me with as much adoration in your eyes as you can possibly muster. I left a list of things that we do as father and son on your bed. Did you memorize it?
I did, I said.
Repeat them back to me.
We fish the Great Lakes of Connemara together. We attend GAA matches in Croke Park. We have an ongoing game of chess where we only make one move per day. We braid each other's hair.
I told you, no jokes.
Sorry.
And don't call us Charles and Maud, all right? For tonight, you must address us as father and mother. It will sound peculiar to our guests if you say anything else.
I frowned. I wasn't sure I could bring myself to say those words any more than a different child might be able to bring themselves to call their parents by their Christian names. I'll try my best, father, I said.
You don't need to start now, instructed Charles. Wait until the guests have arrived.
Yes, Charles, I said.
You're not a real Avery after all.
What exactly is the point of all this anyway? Asked Maud. Why must we debase ourselves for these people?
So that I can stay out of prison, sweet one, replied Charles cheerfully. We must flatter and cajole, and if all else fails, I will take them in here one by one later in the evening and write them each a check. Either way, I intend to end this evening confident in a verdict of not guilty.
Will Mr. Woodbeat be coming to dinner? I asked, and Charles shook his head.
Nope, he said. If it all goes tits up, he can't afford to be seen to have had anything to do with this.
Charles, your language, please, said Maud with a sigh. So Julian won't be coming either? I asked.
Who's Julian?
Asked Charles. Mr. Woodbeat's son.
Why on earth would he?
I looked down at the carpet and felt my heart sink. I just thought he might, I said.
Sorry to disappoint you, said Charles. I had thought about inviting a bunch of 7-year-olds to dinner, but then I remembered that tonight was really rather important and our future happiness might depend on the outcome. No, he is not.
So Elizabeth won't be coming either? Asked Maud.
Elizabeth?
Asked Charles, sitting upright as if startled, his face flushing a little. Max's wife?
I didn't know that you knew Elizabeth.
I didn't. Not very well, anyway. But we've met at a couple of charity events. She's rather lovely in an obvious sort of way.
No, Elizabeth won't be coming,
said Charles, looking down at the desk again and drumming his fingers on his ink blotter. Just the working class people, said Maud.
Yes, just them.
What fun.
It's only for a few hours, my darling. I'm sure you can get through it.
Will they understand which knives and forks to use? She asked.
Oh, for pity's sake, said Charles, shaking his head. They're not animals. What do you think they're going to do? Stab the beef with a toothpick, hold it in the air, and start chewing around the sides?
Are we having beef? She asked. I was rather in the mood for fish tonight.
There's a fish starter, said Charles.
Scallops, I said. I saw them in the kitchen. I'm not being a snob, insisted Maud. I only ask because if these people are unaccustomed to fine dining, they might feel intimidated by the prospect. Faced with competing sets of cutlery, they might think that you're mocking them and react to their humiliation by despising you even more. You forget that I'm a novelist, Charles. I have a keen understanding of human nature. My adoptive father's tongue bulged in his cheek as he considered this. She had a point.
Well, what do you suggest I do?
He asked eventually.
It's a 5-course meal. There's a dozen pieces of cutlery at each table setting. I can hardly stick labels on each one saying, this is a fish knife, this is a bread knife, this is a pudding fork, can I?
No, said Maud. And it would be impossible to find labels that small anyway, particularly at such short notice. We'd need to order them in.